This time
in your Bibles to the prophecy of Isaiah. If you're using this passage on page 571, as we continue our study on the Christmas in the Old Testament, and we'll be looking at the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 7 regarding the virgin. And so I read the entire chapter. We consider this prophecy. So Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, follow along with me as I read aloud, reminding you this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of the people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it." Thus says the Lord God, "It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken to pieces, so it will no longer be a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. And before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they will all come and settle in the steep ravines and the clefts of the rock and on all the thorn bushes and on all the pastures. And that day, the Lord will shave with a razor that is hired beyond the river with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it will sweep away the beard also. In that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. And because of the abundance of milk that they give, he will eat curds, for everyone who is left in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day, every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. With bow and arrows, a man will come there, for all the land will be briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that used to be hoed with a hoe, you will not come there for fear of briars and thorns. But they will become a place where cattle are let loose and where sheep tread." And the reading of God's word there. May he bless it unto us. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this passage. We might likely know the prophecy. We may not know we may not know the setting of the prophecy. And we're going to look at that here this morning as we study this passage. But before we do that, let's go to our Lord and let's ask for his blessings upon us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work your word deep into our hearts. That we would see that this passage too is full of your truth, it's full of your grace, and it is full of instructions for us. And so, Lord, we pray that today that you would help us, that we may learn these together. We pray that we would indeed study your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and let us say, Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we turn our attention now to Isaiah chapter 7, the second in our series on Christmas in the Old Testament. And we're looking primarily this morning at the virgin birth. Tonight we'll look at the prophecy of the child coming in Isaiah 9. But we want to focus on the virgin birth. Now, this is something that should be important to us. As mentioned in a recent issue of Table Talk, just a quote, "The virgin birth appears in every major creed and confession, and it sets our Lord apart from all of Israel's prophets, indeed from every person that has ever lived." The virgin birth is an essential truth of the Christian faith. Our creeds confess it. Our denomination historically even began in part because of the denial of this truth of a virgin birth. The OPC began when the five fundamentals were looked upon as being options instead of fundamentals. Hence, one of the reasons why the OPC came to be in 1936. Now, as we think about the virgin birth, some of you may be thinking to yourself, well, the Roman Catholic Church holds to the virgin birth too. And I love what G.I. Williamson said in one of his commentaries. G.I. Williamson, on his commentary in the Shorter Catechism, says the difference between the Roman Catholic Church and the Reformers is this. When it comes to the virgin birth, the Roman Catholic Church emphasizes the virgin. And the Reformers emphasize the idea of the birth. So as you see the title of the sermon, it's simply the virgin, and I don't want you to think that I'm going to expound upon Roman Catholic beliefs on this. I'm not going to echo, as the Council of Trent says, and this is in their the Council of Trent says this, quote, "I firmly assert that images of Christ, of the Mother of God, ever virgin, and of the other saints should be owned and kept, and that due honor and veneration should be given to them." With a statement like that, we can see why Mary is so revered as the mother of Jesus in the Roman Catholic faith. The Reformers, we emphasize the idea of birth, that the Son of God took on flesh, was born of a woman, and with a true body and reasonable soul, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, and yet without sin. That's a summary of what our confession states. But we want to focus on this prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 7, a well-familiar one to us, as we, again, read from Matthew 1 earlier in the service. We want to consider this prophecy, but like we did last week with Genesis 3, we could have primarily just focused on that proto-evangelion, the first gospel in Genesis chapter 3, but we wanted to look at the setting. We wanted to look at the story in a whole, and I want to do the same thing this morning briefly here in Isaiah chapter 7, because maybe for some of us here this morning, we've never really known what was going on when this prophecy was occurring. And so we'll hopefully...
believe you, trust you, to know that we live by faith and not by sight. Oh Lord, we would pray that we would learn this truth. Learn it daily, to relearn it. We're so quick to forget that you're near. We're so quick to forget that you are true. We're so quick to forget that you are with us. Help us to not forget this. Oh Lord, work your grace in our lives. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name and let us say, Amen.